To be that aristocrat, to look, to sound, and to act like that aristocrat meant she had to change. She had to be different than what she was. No hint of that old accent. Needed to pronounce the H's in a way of speaking. The old style of street mannerism and that temperament from the street, anything of the old Cockney flower girl, would not be acceptable in a fine, polished, distinguished aristocrat lady. The change in Eliza Doolittle may help you understand what the change in our lives that is to take place as the beloved children of God. The old is gone. The new has come. And as such, especially in view of the great and excellent mercy we have received, we are to be significantly different, easily discernible different than the way of the world around us. We are children of God. Let us live as children of God. Great mercy and great compassion was shown us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The total and complete redemption by his precious blood has given us forgiveness, salvation, a new life. New life means new way of living. Living like Christ. Peter is emphasizing that in these two verses. Peter is giving us very practical instruction for bringing the theological teaching he has been doing into the daily life as believers. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 are bringing that theology into practical daily life. Beginning with the word beloved, the NIV doesn't quite get it when it uses the words it did as dear friends. It's beloved. You are the beloved of Christ. Dearly loved. God, the living God, has lavished his love over us. We are the objects of great love. In response, we love the one who loves us. And we show this love through obedience. We love the living Lord our God, and we obey our God. Don't overlook too quickly that previous sentence in Peter's letter, the end of verse 10, but now you have received mercy. In light of that mercy of God, and in light of that love of God, Peter is beseeching us to reciprocate God's love by living for him, our God. Furthermore, we no longer belong to this world. We belong to the living God, and we live in the kingdom of God. As such, we are aliens. We are strangers in this world, meaning the world around us. We no longer live by the world's systems. We live by God's word and in God's way. The world is not our home anymore. Our home is with the Father in heaven and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has gone to prepare a place so that we can be where Jesus is. With this truth, we are called to abstain from sinful desires. The NIV translation, again, is not the clearest in expression here. The New American Standard Bible is closer to the meaning. To abstain from fleshly lusts. This means to refrain and desist from any form of evil that encompasses all the humanity's sinful nature. Fleshly carries the meaning of human depravity, acting like animals and responding to animal appetites, governed by a human nature, not by the Spirit of God. Lusts, that's craving and longing, desiring for what is forbidden. It is our duty to abstain from and smother these urges and inclinations that are to satisfy the earthly sinful appetite. Instead, we are to seek the things of the living God, an appetite for His will, His way. There's a scene in the movie, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. Millie has just been introduced to Adam's six brothers and is crushed by the messy place and the great burden of them all. She makes a supper for them, and all seven brothers come jumping in and all over the table, bounding through the windows, and they sit down and they start just filling their faces with food. Like animals, like pigs. And so Millie comes in and she just looks at him and goes, "If you're going to act like pigs, you will eat like pigs." And she throws that table over and all the food's on the ground. Millie eventually teaches and helps the men with their social etiquette in the movie, helping them transform from wild country bumpkins to clean-shaven gentlemen. When they go to the barn raising, they are not to show any of their old behavior. Again, new life, new way of living that is through and through. But there are challenges, for we are still in our flesh and we do succumb to temptation. As the barn raising sequence in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers aptly shows. That is what Peter means by war against the soul. Our old fleshly desires, they tug at us, and we want to return to them. That drink, that drug, that sin of personal preference pulls at us, trying to return, and at times we fall. But no, there is mercy and forgiveness. We are the beloved of God. Falling is not fatal. Falling shows that we are flawed. We are still flawed. And at the same time, the grief that overtakes us, the sadness at our sin, the remorse, they show that we have the Spirit of the living God in us, calling us to turn to the Father, turn to the Father's compassion. You know, the prodigal son went home and was greeted by a joyous father at his return. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. This verse is about evangelism. It's really about evangelism. Effective evangelism is very much showing that the Christian is different than the rest of the world. Different in a manner that is easily discernible. And discernible as good. Living good lives. Easily seen as a better way than the ways of the world. A way worthy of emulation. A way worthy of inquiry as to why we live as we do. A way worthy of a testimony of God's transforming grace. As we live such worthy lives, if someone slanders us, speaks evil of us, our nature and our character is so readily known by others that the slanderer is immediately seen as speaking falsehoods. We live in such a manner and a way that anything we do when others observe us, they see good deeds which glorify God. This part of the verse, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. Peter is directly echoing what Jesus had said years earlier from the Sermon on the Mount as recorded in Matthew, where Jesus is teaching about being the salt and the light of the world. It's where we get the words in our order of baptismal service. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, Peter's just echoing what Jesus taught. Here's Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. As a city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. What this is about is demonstrating through our own lives the power and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Demonstrating that redemption does change hearts, does change souls. Because we are different on the inside, we act and live different than the rest of the world. Our priorities are different. Our values are different. Even the words we use are different. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, expresses this transformation that Peter's teaching about in this way. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Paul writes, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or see in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you." Put the faith into practice. And by doing so, people will see that you indeed are a child of God. And maybe, and just maybe, what they see in you, they will want in their own lives. And you will be able to share Jesus with them. Christian confession and profession is to be attended by an actual, honest conversion of the whole person. A few thoughts for you. Do you live as Christ lives? Do you treat people as Christ treats them? With love, compassion, mercy, gentleness, and righteousness too. For example, forgiveness. Let's look at just forgiveness. The gospel proclamation is about forgiveness. God's great love and compassion and forgiveness of sin through the Son, Jesus Christ. We teach forgiveness of sin through the Son. And we express how we, as children of God, have been forgiven. I ask you, are you a forgiving person? Do you offer the same mercy, compassion, and grace to those who have sinned against you by forgiving them? Are you a forgiving person? Forgiving as the Father has forgiven you? Or do you feel and say, there is absolutely no way I will forgive you? How can you share Jesus Christ and the good news to a person that you say, there is absolutely no way I will forgive you? How can you teach about the forgiveness of Christ when you yourself don't forgive? Corrie Ten Boom found strength in the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive. She was in a church in Munich, Germany, sharing Jesus and teaching about forgiveness. There she saw a man that just drew her back through the years of memory. Standing before her was a former guard from Ravensbrück. The gray overcoat he was wearing and the brown felt hat he was carrying before her eyes melted into that blue uniform and visored cap with its skull and crossbones and a leathered crop swinging from his belt. All those memories from the concentration camp just flooded over her. Now this man who was very cruel, he was a guard at that place, very cruel, where thousands died, including her own sister Betsy, reaches his hand out to her. Corrie fumbles in her pocketbook to avoid shaking his hand. Corrie was face to face with one of her captors, a cruel captor. The man mentions that he was a guard at Ravensbrück, and he wants to hear from her lips, will you forgive me? Corrie struggled in herself, woodenly raising her hand. And as she reached and grasped his hand, an incredible thing happened. A current just rushed from her shoulder into her arms and into the clasped hands. Healing warmth flooded all over her, bringing tears to her eyes. And by God's strength, Corrie freely cried, I forgive you, brother, with all my heart. This guard had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ years earlier and had become a Christian. But he wanted to hear from her lips, will you forgive me? Corrie had absolutely every human right to say absolutely not. But as a child of God, she forgave. And she reached out and was healed. He was healed. I forgive you, brother, with all my heart. Now, more than ever, we as believers need to live the Christian faith. Brothers and sisters, we are the hope for the world. We are the walking billboards for Christ. As you have been redeemed, live such good lives among the pagans that they may accuse you of doing wrong, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits. Live like Christ so people can see Christ in you, and they just may ask, will you teach me about your Christ? And you will have such joy of leading another to Jesus. You will be blessed. Beloved of God, children of God, live as we are the beloved children of God. Amen.